The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Let's start with the news that today, finally, we have a verdict in the case of Aaron Brady, the man who was accused of the murder of Detective Adrian Donoghue back in 2013. We are joined by our courts correspondent with Today FM, Frank Graney. Frank, thank you very much for joining us on The Last Word tonight. Tell us, please, all about this case, which was such a long, drawn-out case because of COVID-19.
It was. I mean, it started in late January, but obviously when the pandemic really started to bite, that derailed it somewhat. There was an awful lot of work that was going on behind the scenes that the jury wouldn't have been aware of, but it has been the longest criminal murder trial in the history of the state. But it goes back to a cold and a wet night in 2013, the 25th of January of that year, when Detective Garda Adrian Donoghue and his colleague Detective Joe Ryan were assigned to escort a cash convoy to Dundalk for safe deposit. We heard during the trial that they were just about to leave Lordship Credit Union when a car pulled up, a stolen Volkswagen Passat, as it turns out, blocked the convoy in. At this point then, four men, described as four athletic men wearing balaclavas, jumped over a back wall. They headed straight for the Garda car without hesitation. One was armed with a shotgun. We now know that that man was Aaron Brady. The other was armed with a handgun. Detective Donoghue stepped out to see what was obstructing the convoy, and he sadly didn't even have time to draw his weapon before he was shot at close range by Aaron Brady. He was no more than the width of the car away when he opened fire. We were shown CCTV footage of the incident, which lasted incredibly just 58 seconds. 58 seconds between the time that those four men jumped the wall and Aaron Brady took Adrian Donoghue's life in such a violent way. He died instantly. His colleague, Joe Ryan, was still seated in the driver's seat. He didn't even have time to get out when all of this happened. It happened so quickly. Two guns were pointed in his face. He was told he'd be shot if he moved. Another raider then, we heard, smashed the window of a car belonging to one of the credit union workers, stole 7,000 euro in takings from her handbag. And they made off with that 7,000 euro then in the stolen Volkswagen Passat. They weren't realised at the time, but they left over 20,000 euro in takings that was sitting in another vehicle behind them. But obviously, you know, more tragically, they also left a detective lying on his back on that wet night back in January 2013. He wasn't even given an opportunity to fight for his life. He was killed instantly.
Desperately sad. It took a long time for justice to be done. Tell us a little bit about how difficult it was for the Gardaí to actually find Aaron Brady and bring him back to Ireland to stand trial.
Incredibly difficult. Painstaking police work is the reason that we are where we are today, because this gang of five people who carried out that armed robbery, and obviously the robbery led to Detective Donoghue's murder, this was a slick operation. This was a very highly organised operation. The Volkswagen Passat that blocked the convoy in was driven at high speed by a skilled driver across the border. It was found burnt out. It didn't leave any trace behind it. No fingerprints, no forensic evidence whatsoever was left behind them. The shotgun that Aaron Brady used to murder Detective Donoghue in cold blood has never been recovered. So there was no direct evidence linking Aaron Brady to what happened outside Lordship Credit Union that night. And what frustrated the investigation even further was that he left Ireland. Well, he'll say he left Ireland because his name was being blackened. He was being linked to what happened at the credit union. He claimed he couldn't get a job because of it. The rumour mill was in full flow and he felt he had to leave the country. I think it's safe to say at this point, Matt, that he fled the country. He was in fear of being prosecuted because he knew what he had done, and that was ultimately what led to him becoming a number one suspect, because while he was over in the United States he seemed to be shouting his mouth out about shooting a Garda back home in Ireland. And we heard from one man, a witness called Daniel Cahill, that we've spoken about earlier in the trial. This is a Dublin man who was described during the trial as the most controversial prosecution witness, because he was based in New York. Indeed, he's still based in New York. He was working as a barman over there at the time. And he gave evidence via video link during the trial, claiming that he heard Aaron Brady say that he had shot a Garda on three separate occasions. Once after he got into a fight in the pub where he was working, somebody punched Aaron Brady in the face and his nose was bloodied, so he went to the toilets to clean himself up. Daniel Cahill said he went in afterwards to see if he was okay. When he went into the toilet, Aaron Brady was in there in an absolute rage. He was screaming at himself in the mirror and he was talking about how he killed a Garda. Another time, this same witness, Daniel Cahill, claimed that Aaron Brady was sitting at the bar on his own, drunk, and seemed to be drowning his sorrows. And out of nowhere, he said that he asked Daniel Cahill if he knew what it was like to kill a Garda. Daniel Cahill said he didn't, and he asked him what he was talking about. And Aaron Brady then spoke about how he had killed a Garda. On another occasion, he claimed that he was boasting about it at a party. Now, Aaron Brady took the stand, and again, we've spoken about this at great length on the show. Aaron Brady took the stand, which is an unusual move and an uncommon move for a murder accused to do, but he did in his own defence. And the prosecuting barrister, Brendan Grehan, tore him to shreds in cross-examination. He was exposed as a liar. And during the course of his evidence, when he was asked specifically about those very serious allegations that were being made about by Daniel Cahill about him, Aaron Brady described Daniel Cahill as a liar. He described him as a psychopath. And he also suggested that Daniel Cahill had a personal vendetta against him and that he had a motive to tell what he was describing as lies. He described a situation where he was in bed in his apartment in New York one night when he claimed that Daniel Cahill and a couple of other men burst into the apartment, attacked him in his bed, claiming that he had been engaged in a threesome with Daniel Cahill's friend's girlfriend and another man. Aaron Brady claimed that Daniel Cahill had a knife and that he was threatening to cut off his toe. That was put to Daniel Cahill, and Daniel Cahill said that he had nothing to do with that whatsoever. Aaron Brady was described as a pathological liar. The prosecution said that he told lie after lie after lie under oath while giving evidence. He was exposed as a liar. He was a self-admitted liar. The day after Detective Donoghue was shot dead, Aaron Brady was stopped by Gardaí and asked to account for his whereabouts, and straight away, from the very first moment that he came into contact with Gardaí, lies came out of his mouth. He told them that he had spent the previous evening with his girlfriend. He then rang his girlfriend afterwards and he told her to essentially cover for him if anybody was asking about his whereabouts. Now, a few days later, he presented himself to his local Garda station and he said that that was a lie, and he claimed that the reason that he was lying was because he was engaged in illegal fuel laundering at the time. But even when he came forward claiming to now be telling the truth about his whereabouts, even on that occasion he was telling lies about his timings. And it wasn't until just a few weeks before this trial opened that the prosecution actually got the full version of his alibi. It's safe to say at this point, Matt, that 11 of the 12 jurors didn't believe him. And he would have known that his fate was sealed on Monday because they convicted him of being involved in the armed robbery. And I imagine Aaron Brady going back to his cell that evening would have been very concerned because he now knew that they didn't believe his alibi.
So how did he react to the verdict today?
There was little or no reaction out of Aaron Brady today, and it was the same on Monday. Now, on Monday, his mother became visibly upset. His father dashed into the dock and gave his son a big hug. But when the capital murder conviction, and there were still, even after he went home on Monday evening knowing that they didn't believe his alibi, there was still a number of verdicts open to them. Capital murder, murder, they could have returned a conviction of murder if they believed that he was the gunman, but that he didn't realise that Detective Garda was a Garda on duty at the time he pulled the trigger. There was also the option to return a manslaughter charge if they believed that he didn't mean to kill him that night. And there was obviously also the option to acquit. I think it's fair to say that that was never really on the table after they returned with that armed robbery conviction.
So what is the legal significance of the capital murder verdict?
That's a very good question, Matt. Capital murder is distinct to the more common murder charge that we speak about on the show all the time. It's a particular form of aggravated murder. It requires the prosecution to prove additional ingredients beyond a reasonable doubt, specifically that the victim was a Garda acting in the course of his or her duty at the time, and crucially, that the accused knew this or was reckless as to whether he or she was. In his opening address, the prosecuting barrister, Brendan Gren, explained why Gardaí were afforded these additional protections under law. He said it was simply because Gardaí and other frontline workers put themselves in harm's way to protect us. He said, while most people run away from danger, they run towards it to serve and protect us. So the real significance, Matt, is that if he was convicted of the more common murder charge, he would be entitled to parole. He would be eligible to apply for parole after 7 years. I know there's a law, and we spoke about it on the show last week, there is a law that envisages changing that to 12 years. But the significance of capital murder is that he won't be eligible for parole for 40 years.
Let's hear what Chief Superintendent Christy Mangan of the Louth Garda Division had to say today about the significance of that capital murder verdict.
It's there for a reason, to deter criminals like Aaron Brady from picking up a firearm and going out and challenging the rule of law. And that's what was done here. You know, they murdered Adrian, they left the scene, they went into Northern Ireland, and then they thought that borders would save them, but borders didn't save them. The long arm of the law extended into the United States of America and ensured that Aaron Brady received justice here today.
Indeed, and that justice also very important for Adrian Donoghue's family. His wife Caroline, his brother Colm, who's also a Garda, spoke on side court shortly after the verdict was delivered.
I would like to most sincerely thank the jury for sticking with this trial for so long, for my Garda colleagues and for the prosecution team on behalf of Amy Nile and myself. Thank you very much.
This has been one of the most comprehensive investigations in the history of the state. The professionalism and the quality of this investigation has been borne out by the fact that it has been able to withstand the most robust and forensic examinations by the defence in this case.
And I think that is important for the family, isn't it, Frank? Because it is nearly 7 years, or it is 7 years, since this awful crime took place.
Absolutely. We heard from Caroline there in that clip. What a remarkable woman. Herself, a Garda, well, now a retired Garda. And they actually met in the training college down in Templemore. So, you know, a lot of blue blood in the family there. She got a knock on the door on January 25th, 2013 from a colleague who gave evidence during the trial of making that call. Imagine how difficult that was for Adrian Donoghue's colleague and also obviously for Caroline to learn that news. And something that really sticks out in my mind, and this is maybe 6 months ago now since we heard that evidence, was Caroline's initial reaction was to grab her jacket and to go out the front door into that dark and dirty night and to make the trip down to Lordship Credit Union, where she knew her husband was lying dead, and she positively identified him there at the scene because she wanted the investigation to get underway immediately. And she, even in her darkest hour, she went down there and she did what she felt was her duty. And to hear her speaking to the media outside and thanking her colleagues and thanking the jury and thanking everyone who brought Aaron Brady to justice was just incredibly dignified. She is an absolute pillar of strength. So too are her colleagues. Colm Donoghue, Adrian's brother, he's also a detective. And, you know, when he addressed the media, he spoke about how this isn't the end of the story, that there are still other people out there who were involved in what happened outside Lordship Credit Union. And he said that no stone would be left unturned in the pursuit of those people.
Frank Graney, our Today FM Courts correspondent, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.